Good morning, everybody. Kids seat in the back, empty. Kids at school, on the way to the office. Still hanging out with the advisor over here. I'm going to talk to you today about the 7 questions rule. It's something that I came up with it, but I don't know where I've ever heard of it before. And it comes from a place where people have been getting criticized by their coworkers that, hey, we don't think you had enough reasonable suspicion to ask for consent to search, namely in New Jersey. Boy, I would, even if you don't need reasonable suspicion to ask for consent to search in other states, it's a good tactic to develop as much reasonable suspicion as you possibly can to make your case appear much more transparent and understanding to the people that will be reviewing it. Because it's hard for cops to translate to civilians, juries, judges, prosecutors, defense attorneys, exactly what you were experiencing. So one, to get better at documenting RIS, you have to understand what it is. Pay attention to what it is. In your mind, writing your report at the moment that especially we're going to talk about motor vehicle setting, at that moment where you become engaged in identifying a criminal motor vehicle, from that point forward, every event that transpires straight down that road to the point where you have somebody under arrest, you should be documenting in your mind what happened, what you see. You should be saying it to yourself. A lot of times people are like, well, you think I should ask for, you know, you think I should document all the details that I saw? If you're asking for consent, I would. If you pull a car over after you experience a ton of reasonable suspicion and you're given probable cause immediately to search the car, probably not a good tactic to, what does it say? I have no idea what this dude is saying. You don't need to give it all away. You know, you can say, hey, while traveling down Route 503, I observed a vehicle not using its turn signal properly. Whatever you want to say. I stopped the car. I come to the car. I smell marijuana. I saw a handgun in plain view. You know, that's you could probably leave it vague at that. When you're getting to the point where you're asking for consent to search and you've developed enough reasonable suspicion for criminal activity, on your roadside interview, people tend to get, especially newer people who are new at this game, tend to get hung up on what to do. And I watch it. Guys are like, where are you coming from? So look, here's a good tactic to use. When you ask a question to somebody, follow that question up, pull that a title question, and have 7 sub-questions to that title. Where are you coming from today? We're coming from Newark, New Jersey. Where were you in Newark? What time were you in Newark? Who were you with in Newark? What's the address? Let me give you an example. Where were you in Newark? Oh, we were at 7 Bagels. I don't know, this is making up a name. This place called 7 Bagels. Okay, you're at 7 Bagels. Who were you with at 7 Bagels? I was with my friend John over here. Okay, you're with John at 7 Bagels. What time were you at 7 Bagels this morning? We were there at 7:30. Okay, what time did you leave 7 Bagels? We left 7 Bagels at 7:40, about 7:50, about 10 to 8 we left. Now you're looking at your watch, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, so you're like, okay, where were you from 7 Bagels to the time that now we're engaged 20 miles down the road? All right, what did you have for breakfast at 7 Bagels? How much did it cost? What did John have for breakfast? You get into these details, and what happens is their story begins to unravel. The best interdictors on the roadways, not only people that can spot concealed compartments built into cars, vehicle behavior, what's happening if you can't see into the car, what's happening that's different than every other car that's happening on the road. And then if you have the ability to see into the car, I mean, this guy wrote a message in the other day. It was really cool. And he said he's sitting next to the guy in traffic, and the guy just does like a body shift. Like he just shifts his body because he's uneasy, because he's nervous. And that's what he cued in on. So reading those things, but the best interviewers, I'm sorry, the best interviewers are the best roadside interviewers. And that's the truth. The guys who can ask the most questions and the girls on the side of the road and beat a story up. A lot of times you can beat somebody's story up so badly that they just give it up. I've had that happen a lot of times. And I'm like, all right, none of this is making sense to me. Now, why are you asking all these questions? Because if you have 2 passengers in the car, you're always going to want to separate the passenger from the drivers. Right? I've given the New Jersey guys case law, so we can't ask past identification. Like, let's stop with all this crazy cockamamie stuff, New Jersey. That's why we do this group. That's why we have these videos. Why we have the training to try to put all the cockamamie crazy bullshit that we've heard for years to rest. You separate people. You ask them these details. And when you have this on camera that these people don't know where they were coming from, you know, you're an actor. You're an actor on the camera, but you're a good investigator. Somebody's saying, like, you let your mom watch it, and you're like, look, Mom, like, these guys didn't even know what this other guy ate for breakfast. They said at the same table. Well, who paid for it? How much was it? Do you have a receipt? How'd you pay? Did you pay in cash? Did you pay with credit card? You just got to hit them with 100. Like, just, so it's one question. It's 7 questions for every one question. That's a good general rule. But man, you can take it as far as you want. Ask those questions. You're not delaying the stop. You're at the point now where a lot of stuff has happened that has cued you in on this car. You're focused on this vehicle here on the roadway, and you're there. It's not, don't get confused with running radar on Main Street, pulling people over for 41 and 25, and then getting into these questions with no other reasonable suspicion that happened beforehand. Running radar and look at the numbers on a screen is not going to point you in the direction of a criminal motor vehicle. It's just not going to do that. You have to open your eyes, begin to scan, begin to look around, begin to look at what's going on in the car. I wish you could almost like reprogram your brain to stop thinking what you think it's going to look like. If you can just try to understand, you have to look at vehicles and the reactions to you, that what's happening with the car. Like if they see you, are they switching lanes all of a sudden? Are they blending into traffic? Or they immediately get off the exit ramp? This is just off the top of my head. And then the people in the car, like they don't have to have flat brim hats to be engaged in criminal activity. Like there's so many cases. The best interdictors aren't pulling over 19-year-old kids wearing flat brim hats. You guys have to understand that. You got to get out of your mind that that's what somebody's going to be selling drugs going to look like. That guys that I've interviewed are like, yeah, dude, I buy drugs from 55-year-old white guys from upstate New York. I would get 100 pounds a week from them. You guys are out there looking for people with fucking flat brim hats. Stop. Open your eyes. Start to look at what these people, no matter what they look like, race, creed, color, religion, no matter what they look like, what are they doing when they see you? And you know what? It may be somebody wearing a flat brim hat. I'm not saying if you see a flat brim hat, it can't be that. It's possibly, could be that. My point is it could be anybody. It could be anything. I've gone to see, I've been in the presence of some great interdiction instructors. And I mean, there's guys that have videos of them pulling over 80-year-old Japanese couples with $1 million in cartel cash in the trunk. It's not because they knew something. It's because if they paid attention to what was going on in the car, what the car was doing, who the people were, where they were headed, their stories, you would unravel what was really happening. Again, you have to know that on a motor vehicle stop, you're posing these questions. It's not like you're running radar. Let me advocate that don't run radar or run random plates and then start getting into an interview process on the side of the road as a common habit. Now, if you develop some RAS as you that led you to believe that car was the car that you would focus on, that's fine. But guys, you have to understand how this works. There's a reason why the best cops and the guys who understand this and get the principles of interdiction down, and it takes practice like anything else. The first time you picked up a handgun, you weren't hitting fucking dead bullseyes if you're a good shot. You just weren't. But when you understood the principles of marksmanship, the five principles of marksmanship, and you could apply them properly, and the way they're supposed to hit, you can hit the target every single time. It's the same concept as anything. Nobody, like, Alex Rodriguez didn't pick up a bat when he was 28 and say, I'm going to play for the Yankees, right? The guy literally was probably playing baseball since he's 3 years old, obsessively. So if you want that success, you have to just try to figure out, what am I not getting? What am I not looking for? Your plan has to change. If this is not for you, that's fine. Well, what am I not paying attention to? And don't make excuses. And don't be on your fucking cell phone the whole time while you're doing proactive patrol work. That's my advice for you today. Guys, Greg Gilmore is going to be in tonight. We're going over his program for next week, April 5th. High-level interdiction, hidden compartments. Over 80 guys registered for that class. It's pretty friggin' good. We're excited. Morris County Police Academy. He'll be in tonight. We'll go live. I'd probably a little late this evening. You can ask your questions, get them ready. If you have something you want to ask Brad, we don't have them all the time. And I'm going to read, I'm going to just, as I'm driving, I try to read these things to people wrote. Let's see. Nope, you're profiling wrong. It's all about reaction to people. Yep, that's correct. I work with some that stop. It's hard to read while I'm doing 85 miles an hour.